All right, everybody. Well, good morning. This is Steve Yakin. And welcome to Tunbridge, Tuesday the 25th of February 2025 at the Tunbridge Hilton on our own main road, Tunbridge. And this is our ordinary council meeting, and the agenda has been circulated. And as well, the first item on the agenda is prayers. And welcome Reverend Dennis Cousins to the site of prayers for us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Dennis.
Nice to be here to see the new bridge. Mr. Edward is coming down the road, not what I reckon he's got to check out to see whether they've started there. And I drove across it.
Yeah,
very nice indeed. So, thank you. And all the best to everyone today for the meeting. There are two people within the Southern Midlands that are known to us who have passed away, and one dear Joan Canfor, who very much a well-known name, family name within the Oaklands area, and always think of Joan as I either walk past the shop and sometimes get a wave through the blind if she sees me first. So. Our thoughts with her family. And also Matthew Hazelwood, many may know, certainly here from the Tunbridge area, son of Rodney and Joey. And we think especially of Rodney and Joey, Matthew's parents. Been a hard and difficult time, and our thoughts are with them. And thank you once again, Karen, for giving you that information. We just begin with a prayer, and I'll conclude with our Lord's Prayer. God, you see us as you call us to be. Give us faith so that we can envisage your world according to your ways, living in faith and confidence. We commit to you those families who have lost loved ones here within the Southern Midlands area, and indeed throughout this state. As we do, we remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much, and all the very best for the meeting today.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and to the community. Pay respects to elders past and present. Our attendance today is complete except for Councillor Miller
and Councillor Fish.
And Councillor Fish who joined us. Oh, is it complete policy? Councillor Fish and policy. Were you on?
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Those absentees and the attendance aspects move. Councillor Disney seconds to those in favour. Thanks again to myself. Thank you. And we have an apology from Councillor Miller and from Councillor Fish later. Very good. Item 5 is the ordinary council minutes. The minutes of those have been circulated. Do you move that or their confirmation?
Aye.
Thank you, the deputy.
Second.
Probably Councillor Cam, just for a minute. Any issues? Put the motion out in favour.
Aye.
Against you, I'll say they're confirmed. Thank you. Special minutes of council, receipt of minutes, which are Community Memorial Hall and Golden and Calvin Park. Move that.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor
Campbell. I'll second.
Second by Councillor Blackburn. Any issues?
Just being on the Lake Delverton Committee, and I think everyone will read it in a minute. The toilet has been completed in Callington Park, and we have some really good comments coming back from parents about that, and it's fantastic, and the community are very, very happy with it.
Very good. I'll move a second, those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Special committees of council endorsement of recommendations.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor Bisney, and a second. Councillor Campbell, thank you. Any issues there? Any of that, those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it, thank you. And then joint authorities, we have joint authorities.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor Bisney. Deputy. Any issues there?
An STCA perspective, there's an item later on the agenda in terms of the future structure.
So, we'll talk about that later, thanks. Well, I'll just put that motion for a moving second, those in favour? Those against, the ayes have it, thank you. Notification of council workshops. Some materials there in relation to the workshops. Just generally in relation to the workshops too, as we go through that, council is a reminder that the workshops are in-house and that the discussions, we design workshops on the basis that we can have a full and frank discussion amongst ourselves about the matters that we're workshopping, and that is to remain within council, because otherwise I think it limits the way in which we can approach matters, and we've got to be able to do that frankly with each other, but we've got to be reminded occasionally from time to time that what is said within workshops is to stay within workshops. Now, do I have a leave with those recommendations? Yes, thank you. Was that the recommendation that you must receive? Did you number me as Councillor Buckley? You did. And Councillor Bisney said. Thank you. I move that motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Councillor, question time. I don't think there's any questions on notice, is there? Questions without notice. Councillor Bisney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Andrew, any further negotiation with Voss about the pool completion of the contract?
Thanks for the question, Councillor Bisney, through you, Mr. Mayor. Now that Sandstone's completed, that will be happening over the next month, I would think. We are still holding something like $400,000 against delays and non-completion of works, so that should be happening over this next month.
Right, very good. That would be good. Thank you. That's the only question I have. Okay.
Thank you.
Nothing from me, thank you.
Just here.
Well, first one's not really a question, it's just to open up the whole shop. It's open from 6 in the morning to 6 at night, 7 days a week, which moves me on to the Coldwood Rec Ground. Is that being utilised, and what's it being utilised for?
The answer is, Chair, the upon the club rooms, the building that was provided to effectively just be a change room type thing, it's being used by a group of Coldwood residents as a meeting place since the tavern closed. It's just a group, I think, primarily men. I'm not saying women over it. It's primarily men that meet on a weekly basis and have a chat and do whatever. So, yes.
Then the next question is open race track. what's going on up there, is that being utilised? Is there any future plans to make it better?
Yes, there is. We put in an application to Racing Australia for $15 million, and the Centre of Racing Australia has it going.
I can't see that happening.
Not all that, believe me. Unfortunately, that's not true. That's fake news.
More chance to turn into a go-kart.
Sorry?
More chance to turn into a go-kart.
We don't want go-kart, actually. We're very pleased with our thoroughbred industry as it is associated with Oakland. Very pleased indeed. And not only the thoroughbred industry, but of course the harness racing. And generally the equine sports, there's a large number of participants in the equine sports area around our district and we support them. But General Manager, anything you want to say?
So in terms of use, there's, I'm guessing, there's probably 5 or 6 harness racing trainers that use the facility. They're all licensed trainers, so they have appropriate insurance and the like. I believe there's one thoroughbred trainer that uses the track and property to, what do you do, work them up before they get them into fast work.
A bit of that.
And generally they're self-sufficient. They maintain the track themselves, they put material and top up the track as needed. They're self-sufficient. In terms of immediate plans, whilst it's not on the radar at the moment, they've certainly, they would desire some washdown stalls. We talked about a period of time ago, which is their fairly basic infrastructure. But certainly there's greater opportunities at some stage in the future. But it is being used at the present time.
Cat policy, and I'll bring this one up after because people are dumping cats again, and had cats dumped down my area, and in 3 months they've cleaned out that many birds, it's just not funny. At one stage I had 24 magpies coming to my place, now I've got 3. Cats have got the rest. But apparently there is negotiations going on between state government and the GAT in relation to cat policy. When are they likely to get that all together and when are they likely to bring it back to council? And is it going to have some teeth where we can actually deal with these people who dump cats?
So there is, I'm not aware of recent discussions or negotiations, but there is a Southern Tasmanian cat management strategy and an officer that's allocated for that. Now, with cat management, it's discretionary as to whether local government gets involved or doesn't get involved, and if they do get involved, to what extent. At this point, we don't have the resources to take a proactive approach to cat management, but certainly we respond, you know, if we were aware of issues, but it's really a policy issue for council as to how much we want to play in this space, but at the moment we certainly don't have the resources to increase our activity in cat management.
It would be good to see heavier penalties on people who dump cats.
Yeah.
You dump a dog and they throw the book at you. But the cat, that it's just going to kill a few rats and mice, now it's just take all the wildlife out.
Yes, there is a requirement, I think, that they be chipped and kept in house and whatever else. As far as Australian cats, they don't have the resources to pursue that.
Then the final one is Yarlington with stock strain. No doubt some of those within council would know about it. And people up that way are not very happy with the amount of times stock goes strain and would like to know what can be done about it.
Correspondent with probably the main culprit It's a very unique situation, but at the end of the day, the owner of the stock has responsibility to stop that stock, those stock, from straying or leaving the property. The issue is that there's some internal fences that are not up to scratch, and there's a dispute between the neighbours in terms of who's going to pay to upgrade or fix the fences. That's not something that we get into. But apparently these bulls are straying off a property via another private property and at some point ending up on the road. We've clearly, what we have now, it's a different situation because we can't require the owner to upgrade the fences facing the roadside because that's not where they're getting out. It's internal fencing. We've said to the owner that any future response from council will involve Tasmania Police, and Tasmania Police have the ability to issue infringements under both the Police Offences Act and the Animal Welfare Act, where we don't have the ability to infringe immediately. So they're all on notice. It's a very unique situation beyond that, in terms of who's prepared to do what and who's done what, and causing a fair bit of frustration. But police will become and take an active role in addressing it.
I know there's quite a few that are up in arms up in the area.
And their animal control officers, and the feedback's getting, have done the best she's able to do. So hence why the need to involve task force.
Thanks, Kathy.
I just wanted to a couple of questions. The first one I'll direct to the general manager. I know he was involved with it. When we had our meeting with Minister Perry Vincent, we raised the subject of moo food and how dangerous it is. And of course on Saturday we had a 2-3 car pile up there again, and the general manager was called to it. Can you give us an update?
Yeah, certainly, and very close. So as the deputy mayor sitting out there, Minister Vincent, Perry Vincent, is the Minister for Infrastructure. Friday in Woodnicker, and raised a number of issues, but I think from the past council's aware of where we've ended up with access to moo food. A little bit of history, going back to 2021-22, the Department of State Growth did a safety audit. It identified a number of actions that could be taken to try and address the safety concerns. Essentially they did do some minor, or they removed some of the sections of barrier. Then indicated let's just sit back and wait and see what the crash history is, you know, effectively saying let's wait until there's a few deaths and then we might do something. Would that be right? It's probably blood.
Yes, it seems like not.
But having said that, in answer to your question, so we did meet with the new minister, and he has taken an active interest in looking at what the solutions are for moo food. The extent he followed up with some telephone communications, and we've provided him information and past correspondence from council, so hopefully we might get a good response and some action taken in relation to that.
No one was hurt
in
the
first
accident. Nothing
seriously, but there was one accident in fact, but yeah.
So again, they were pulling out into the path of another oncoming car.
Again, it would appear to be a southbound vehicle turning right into Moonpoo, and then there's a northbound vehicle that's cleaned it up and pushed it on its side. Unfortunately, the woman was the driver. The only passenger in the vehicle was on the side, but she was there. Obviously on the road side, when the vehicle was on its side.
Yeah, no, I saw the photo.
And there are those silver coloured cars too. And when those silver coloured cars get to the silver coloured fence.
Yes.
I don't understand how the person's driving south.
So you think I should spray. a spray paint like that?
Yellow cars, I think, would be probably the safest you could have.
Aqua is the most visible, aqua is the most visible colour.
I certainly can see the orange ones.
Aqua and pink have got two on the top.
Well, that's okay, we'll put in one of those after this. We played car cricket a lot with my little boy, and an orange or yellow one is six. There are a lot of orange. It's a big one now. But that is a problem. I sympathise with the person who was travelling south, because I do that many times myself and can't miss a car. Anything else, Stephanie?
I was asked a question. How many new DAs for dwellings have we, or did we approve in 2024? So this would be a question for Grant, I'm sure. And comparing that to 23, have you got the numbers? Can you?
I don't have them on the top of my head, Councillor, but certainly I know that within the report we provide that data consistently. We've seen an increase in dwelling approvals between 23 and 24. A lot of those are now referred to as NPR, no permit required. We are seeing consistent increases year from year in dwelling approvals. I can provide those numbers, that sort of numbers to you post-meeting, in fact.
Very lovely. Thank you. Thank you.
Just a couple of quick questions. Kate Gillen over at Campaigner is interested in promoting a junior library over there.
I have a response.
Did you want to give a little bit of an air on that?
Yeah, so Kate's the captain for the Campaigner Volunteer Fire Brigade. And they're very active in the junior development space, and apparently they hold an annual planning meeting that the juniors decide what they want to do, and they want to take responsibility for a section of the Campaigner Bush Reserve in terms of, you know, developing their techniques around burning, you know, coal burns, hot burns, but also link it to the Aboriginal heritage within the Bush Reserve. They're not council I'm really aware of. But she sent or circulated an email just giving some initial feedback to see what the thoughts were, and from a council perspective I flagged that subject to resolving the insurance issues. I think the council would be fully supportive. Mm. That's true.
Cool. Maybe the council should also write Kate a letter and congratulate her on her Australia award that she got.
The
services to the
Bible. Yep. Always good to give some sort of recognition, because she does do a fair bit out there. But I think that would be a good use, and I don't know whether it requires any council deliberation, does it? It's one way or another.
No, I think it's only sharing knowledge that they earmark a spot within the Bush Reserve.
Yes.
But we don't then go and slash it or just making sure we're clear who's going to do the bot and who's going to control.
The other thing I was just going to ask you about is the Gravel Railway area and the committee associated with it. We do have one, I think. I don't think it's ever met or recommenced really. There's a toilet there, which I guess is railway property, not too sure about that. Is it council? Do we maintain it, or is it kept locked? Anyway, I'm not sure about where we're going to go, if ever, anywhere, until the development of that area. I know it takes some work for council to maintain and look after, but...
Yeah, the answer is, the history of it,
yeah.
Tas Rail was going to still the Parada Railway Station. And the local community went up in arms, rightly so, and said this is part of our history. But after many discussions, Tas Rail said the gems are here, we'll have a railway station. And that includes the gantry.
Yes.
The previous manager of works had big plans for the gantry, but in terms of their many potential uses, but that haven't eventuated. The Risk Committee, the Council Management Committee, I think Councillor Fish is our representative.
Yep.
Well, I know Councillor
Lindsay was on it. Yeah, the times that really it's Gavin Wagner, John Molyneux, that's probably every year, and whoever the council rep is. If there is a meeting, we just get together out on site and talk about what's happening. The latest project out there was building a little structure over the old gang trolley. Gavin, I think, takes the lead in mowing, and if he doesn't, we do it. Yes, Tazrael pay the committee an annual fee to access the toilets, their train drivers, to access the toilets. And it was being opened on a daily basis, mainly for the track users, the walking track users. I'm just not real sure at the moment. Yeah, we are cleaning it now, aren't we?
Correct.
Yeah. So it is part of our cleaning program.
Very good.
That's it. Enough. That's about all I
know. Oh, did you find that Gavin spends a lot of time on the station than what he did before?
And, yeah, the ability to keep up the mowing and maintenance.
Yeah, hey, I saw that enough to think of better things to do than those of our outlets.
Emphasising that it doesn't include the dwelling, the old private park.
No, they're actually private now, it's an option.
We did some re-roofing out there 2 years ago. And some gutting drainage improvements.
It's a park though, isn't it really? I mean, it could be a park. It
could be.
Yeah. I think, generally speaking, you know, I just wonder how much focus we're putting on for that. It just seems to me we're all be running into disrepair and I think there's some issues there with the program. I think we can raise our profile around it a bit, and maybe that's something that we can think about. We'll put it on the radar. And finally, just wonder when construction of the Great Stone Wall, which right in China, is about to commence at the Melbourne Mowbray Park.
Yeah, good question.
Some update on that?
That's probably Dave's.
Yeah, so as you'd be well aware, Mr. Mayor, with some personal help from a certain mayor, we've almost signed, and the board's been there starting today.
Fantastic. That'll be good. We're looking forward to seeing that. It'll be great. Addition to the many tourist attractions at Melbourne Mowbray. And then what will follow from that will be the transportation to Trot, I suppose, will it?
Correct.
That's right.
That'll be great, don't it?
Scary.
Nervous. Yeah. But anyway, it's on the way, which is great news. All right, well, look, that's all the questions about, David. Thank you very much for that. It's now 10. And that is the exercise starting time for public question time. So we'll go to that. There's no permission to address council. The members of the public here, you wish to ask any questions?
No. Well,
yes, go for it, Joy. There you go.
Just one which you may now not answer because it's about the hotel development, and I heard that you discussed this in the workshop and they are in camera. But are you in a position to give us any updates?
I'm just trying to think what I actually put.
You didn't say very much.
Yeah. Back to Evans, sorry. Yeah. So, yes, they're very much still focused on refining designs, construction costs, business plan, but at some point, given their agreement, the time frames contained within that, we just need to try and progress it, or
so we'll
it's still on the radar.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately, as you know, since COVID, building costs have just gone crazy.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing they want to do is get it half built and run out of money. So I think they're taking extreme efforts to shore up their finances.
It's interesting that they haven't pulled out.
Yes, yes. But the last time I talked to Bentayga, which was some time ago, last year, and they are very committed to the project, subject to a number of things.
Okay.
Finance being one.
That's all from me, thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes, hello.
Paul.
Well, I know there are two cup meetings coming up north and south. They have come to Sunday that there's more horses at Bratta than what they have at Roachmash. They have come to so many horses allowed in a build-up area, or animals in a build-up area, and in the enclosure they're in. It's a total disgrace to the family.
Yes.
Oh, well, I say so.
Yeah.
And all the public get out of the block, none of them's ever been paid for it. They don't have any letters the kids got from.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a... an issue which I think might be a planning or land use issue more than anything else. The animal welfare people and our own animal welfare officers have seen the horses and inspected them from time to time, and they all seem to be well fed and in good nick. That doesn't seem to be the issue. It's just the numbers, isn't it?
It's the numbers.
Through Mr. Mayor, I can add some value there as well, but you are correct. We have had some complaints in the last 12 months in relation to nuisance, so odour, particularly maybe flies from
flies.
So we've had council staff monitor the site consistently, as SPCA from Launceston and the Whitefield. The issue, as the Mayor has mentioned, it might well be a matter for a resource consent or the DA side of it, because under the zoning of the land, what could be happening is animal breeding, so it might actually require a use approval. So council staff will be looking at that. That's an option we can look at to manage that site and numbers of horses on that property. And I will try to take that forward and
well, there was many dogs up north and that was closed there. RSPCA, so I can't understand.
Sure. I don't know if there are horses on the site, but the carrying capacity of the site actually is for land area versus horse numbers, but certainly there's been no concern from any of the welfare bodies regarding the condition of the horses and the site conditions as well as the food and shelter and so forth, but certainly it might require a planning approval, and I'll follow that through.
Why haven't we got a stump muncher anywhere around? It's nice to see those 2.3 out of the way.
Yeah.
Though I think they mentioned earlier from several residents, why doesn't they go up ground over to the stump muncher?
Well, thanks for your comment. That the tree's gone. Nice to hear you compliment the council for doing something for it. Yeah. Really good. And why haven't we got a stump muncher?
Come on! I'm going to be going after messages.
I reckon Dave might have an answer.
Yes, I'm sure you did, Mr. Mayor. As you're probably aware, the tree's only cut down last week.
Yeah.
So what I'd say is send a message out, just give us a chance.
Next one I've got to be doing. And what I'd northern end of Scott Street, say about a week, and the truck was out here going around on the flyover. He got me a note from him, though he wasn't in the list, but what? Yeah.
You're referring to the section he was breaking up?
Yeah, from the corner of Scott end of Culver.
That will be put on a reconstruction project, yeah, because I didn't want to basically waste money on putting a seal on it, because it wouldn't last. So that would be, yeah, very good, I'll say.
Guess what? We've had some work started in the town. We've now got several entries here to the town. But it does make some sort of drivers to come down to the town, they go through to the southern one to come in. They forgot about the northern entrance in Houston.
I agree, I think that is a common issue where people still, that they've gotten so used to going on the southern one.
Yeah, but I come from North and I wanted to go up Palomar Road. Well, hang on, I'll come in myself. That's all. No, they finally got it done. Good job.
That's good. Good.
Next one.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'll come in.
Nothing else. All right, well, thank you very much. just before we move on to the next item, but I'll just get rid of, or see if there's any supplementary item on the agenda, is there?
Neil? I think this would probably be a very good time to make the morning tea.
Oh, maybe the motion.
Alright. We'll move it to the Deputy Secretary of Council Blackburn. Welcome back, councillors. Thank you for your re-attendance at the table. We're now back at page 19 of 126. A motion before us that we reconvene, moved by the Deputy, seconded by Councillor Christie. Councillor Campbell, thank you very much, and thank you very much to the committee at the Tunbridge Hall. It had a beautiful morning tea for us.
Certainly was.
Now, first, I think we're going to act as a council acting as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council Statutory Land Use Planning Scheme.
I might just jump in there, Mr. Murphy. Unfortunately, we have to withdraw this development application as Walter has yet to submit its
SPAN, which is a submission for planning authorities.
SPAN submission. So we have yet to receive that notice. Therefore, council is not in a position to consider the application in the absence of whatever that may contain.
Well, I'd say the decision is
deferred to next year.
Withdrawn.
Withdrawn, is that really? Or just deferred to next year?
Just a question, Mr. Mayor. The ownership transaction's all been complete. Ownership from the community club.
This is the Oakland's Rec Ground.
Sorry?
This is the Oakland's Rec Ground.
Oh, sorry, Oakland's Rec Ground.
Yeah, I didn't actually get to it. Sorry. So deciding which one is the wrong. We're discussing 12.1.1, which is development application DA 24.11.1, and that application is now formally
withdrawn. Oh, the Oakland's one, sorry.
Yep. Yeah. No decision required. So that's 12.1.1.
Yep.
I think it's that, please, that it's been referred to the next meeting in March. The council has secured a time extension from the applicant to allow us to determine the application at the next meeting.
Oh, well, in that case, there's the information of the decision required for that to be adjourned to the March
council meeting.
Council meeting.
Yep. Councillor Pistey. I'll move.
Move Councillor Pistey. Yeah. Second. Those in favour?
Oh.
The ayes have it. Very good. Now, planning other. This is the Minister's proposed amendments to the Southern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Strategy. And the Manager of Development and Environmental Services. Mr. Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a work in progress, as you will be aware. This affects 12 LGAs, a lot of urban areas, and council planners across those LGAs have been working with the Southern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Strategy. Part of the work has involved the definition of urban growth boundaries. November last year.
Can you just tell us exactly where the southern line is as it goes from?
We're the most northern of those 12 LGAs.
Okay. So Tunbridge is the most northern spot, isn't it, in terms of that line?
As far as LGA, you want to go there, the southern Midlands is the most northern
yep.
of the 12 councils involved.
Right. It
includes Huon Valley, Tasman, Sorrel, the Greater Hobart Councils, the yep. Valley Council.
Yeah. And then across to the west, we've got
Central Highlands. And then we move into other land use strategies, which is Cradle Coast and the northern region of
okay.
the northeast.
So, sorry to interrupt you. Yep, carry on.
So what's happened is that each council late last year these schools set about defining urban growth boundaries for a number of areas, and we have one for Oaklands which council staff were involved in defining. However, late last year the Minister put it out, been petitioned by a number of developers to extend those urban growth boundaries, particularly in around Sorrel, Kenwood and Brighton council areas. This doesn't affect Southern North Council at all, hence the recommendation is that we provide a neutral submission in relation to the proposed extensions of those local government boundaries. The intention of the Minister's involvement is to provide for an additional 615 hectares of land and providing an additional 10,000 lots for residential development. We're mindful that funding for this project will extinguish March 2025, and the coordinator, Dallas Finnick, may no longer be in that position to drive this project, and we're expecting this to be pushed back to 2026 now for a common accumulation. But the recommendation, as I have here, is that we provide no objection to the proposed amendments to the growth boundary as set out in the update consultation paper for Feb 2025.
Who are the recommendations?
Thanks, Councillor Pistey. Second. Thanks. Just in relation to the issue that you just alluded to, the Hobart area, is there a flow-on attitude change, perhaps, in relation to the urban boundaries of towns within our own?
Hopefully, Mr. Mayor. Hopefully.
Last week we were involved with a structure plan for the Baghdad Mangalore catchment, and we're mindful of the potential growth that we will receive on the back of land being more accessible, more affordable. We're certainly a commuter suburb of Great Hobart. We anticipate, I think, quite a medium to, I wouldn't say high growth, but certainly not a slow growth within that catchment, most certainly. There will be flow effect to our council building. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions?
So it might be hopefully there's a cultural shift in the thinking of the TPC.
Well, that's what I hope. I know infrastructure is the main issue.
Yeah, I know, it always is, yes.
They say, well, we don't want towns expanding because it's going to cost too much to supply the infrastructure.
But on the other hand, they say, oh, we need 50,000 new homes. You know, you can't have that without infrastructure. Anyway.
Well, in relation to Baghdad specifically, I mean, the talk is now for
instead of expanding the already completely full sewage ponds, to build a pipeline to a new facility somewhere in Rockland, I think, yes, where they're going to deal with it, or somehow send it all down by gravity. I just change it, it's not about all of that. But that's that is an infrastructure proposal which would have the biggest effect, I think, ultimately, in expanding the population expansion of the Mangalore Valley.
Bigger than Mangalore.
All right, thanks very much for that. That concludes our session, I think, as a planning committee. And now we are to the Manager of Infrastructure and Works Report. David Richardson is with us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On capital works, I guess. So the Interlaken Road project is basically complete, minus just some signage to go into the advanced warning signage, which should be completed in this week. So that project will be done, completed. And I think it's a pretty good result. Very happy with the contractor, the way they conducted themselves through the project, and we ended up with a very good result.
Budget,
sorry,
and a budget.
The cost of the material component blew out a little bit, but basically we had the $5.3 million from the federal government. And it would have been nice to have got the original amount that we asked for so we could have completed the whole road, but that didn't come about. But slight budget overrun will be helping through transitioning money from other projects.
Transitioning money from other projects.
Yep.
Wrong person.
Our annual road shuttle organisation program has been completed, as well as much special to be aware, the road for icons, our annual reseal program is almost most important. You can be aware, I think Tim sent out a note to all councillors that have been picked up as a contractor at the Kingford office last week, as in the project damage force for the office there. This is an error in judgment for the truck operator. It does happen, but you know, the good result was known. There's certainly some damage done, some significant damage done to the
community as well. Great tragedy.
Which was unfortunate.
Just on that point, I might just expand it. So the rear access to the rear of the office will be blocked off for a period to be determined. We'll involve reconstruction of the rear section of the building in the corner. The issues with access to the toilets, there was tow, we stopped access to all the toilets, as you know, they're in that back corner. If we had confirmation that the actual disabled or the accessible toilet could now be used.
Yes.
But as a temporary measure, the staff were using the Kempton Hall. But I suppose if there were no access to the toilets, and if that occurs as a result of the reconstruction process, there will certainly be no meeting scheduled at the Kempton office during that period.
Kempton Recreation Ground has had four major irrigation installed. That's completed prior to the festival. So that'll be good. We're now obviously get some water pump input and hopefully get back in shape ready for the football season. We have also finished work at the Milton Motorway Park. With a retaining wall being the first step there. And there's lots of other things on there, but if you want to
on your hours of the report, and you feel free to ask any questions.
Just a quick one in relation to the Oval of Kempton and the football and the settling of the cover over the box there. Are you fairly confident that there's not going to be a sort of a place where the Woodstyle and Brazilian teams football might put their ankles and cause trouble?
It always is a challenge when a new irrigation system goes into the sports over, because there will be natural sinkage, particularly around the sprinklers and some of the lines that have been installed. That's why we've got a pump of water on basically, let it sink, and we'll continue to top dress it. And then the contractor that installed the irrigation will come back and top dress the whole open with the sand, which won't affect it, you can still plan it with extra. And water it in, but yes, there will be some natural subsidence over time, but we can only monitor it until that as it happens.
At least you're alive to that issue.
Yeah, that's good.
And then the other issue in relation to the Oval is the lights. Is it possible to do a test of the lights before the Oval starting finishes and make sure they're all operating? Because the patrons continue to listen to the lights and
They really shouldn't be, because as you're aware, we had some significant electrical work done last year. So I'm more than happy to...
We came in a little bit of burst at the festival, and one light does cause a problem, you didn't come on.
Right.
And one of the lights replaced east on the where the old floorboard plant used to be. Doesn't work on one of the lights there. I think they just need to have a bit of... Any other questions?
Joe, when will the other teams be allowed to use the ground to start training them?
The Kempton Grand?
Yeah.
Pretty much right away. I'd like a little bit more time, another couple of weeks to let that happen, the subsidence, and top it up and so on. But beyond that, it's particularly it's only for training.
For you, Mr. Mayor, maybe we can ask that prior to any training that they do a training day risk assessment on the ground, so that the coach and captain sign off that the ground is appropriate for them to train on. Just it covers us in relation to those things.
Well, obviously other teams won't train until they're given the go ahead
How are you going with that? Where have you got to?
Oh, I haven't got back to speak to the property owner.
I know it's short of years from the company, he's happy for it, and he's got it.
Maybe.
One of those that's concerned about what's new right now. There's...
The engineer.
So, you saw... And about a year ago I raised a concern in relation to Tunbridge and the southern entrance, which I led to believe that I might need to be corrected to follow up on, and that was a merge lane on the southern entrance down onto the highway. The government didn't put that back in price after they had upgraded the road. Went before the road upgrade, they used to be merge lane there. Then when they upgraded the road, no merge lane. And yet bus drivers, truck drivers come out of the southern entrance and they would put the pedal flat to the north here at the hill and put up a bit of traffic happening up behind it. It's still like an arson spot, and I would like to see if you pop up on that to see why it was, that lane wasn't put in there.
True, Mr. Mayor, I think that'd be a good one as well, regarding the inspection.
Thank you, Councillor Chair. Any other members?
I'm just going to go over to how we're going to do the survey of the town of Preston for the rubbish connection.
Just a comment on that, the plan is just to limit to a survey of the Tunnock Township. In the past we've done basically parade through the Tunnock. I think that's what's obviously the closer you are to Parada, the more likely you are to say no to a service. Mm-hmm. So if we just focus purely on the Tunnock Township is the plan, isn't it?
And that's reflective from what the contractor is.
Yeah.
You suggested
that.
Does
that
make
Country Marsh Road as well, or
just... No, it'll just be Tunnock, because the road's Tunnock, and then come back to
Innsdale
Road.
Yeah. Very good, most of the
hours,
though, that's sweet. And I guess we're nominated from the point of view of the collection of costs. That would limit it. If you're doing a whole sweep, you might have an extended area.
Just need to draw the transport route, and then if you're slightly up a side road, you may need to bring it down to the junction.
All right. Interesting to see the result of that. Any other matters for the Mental Infrastructure Works? No? Thanks very much for your thought, Dave. Yes.
Just one more, Mr. Mayor. There's an attachment in my report or part of the report for the traffic counter in Oakland. It was requested by him. So we've done the survey and we got the results back. In summary, there was about 1,000 more vehicles than in the busy period compared to the quiet period, basically. And my reading of it, there certainly is not a whole lot of speed mentioned. If you get back on, when you put out a traffic down on any road, but it should be a great idea that that should be a port, very detailed report, a lot of what happened here. I know there were some questions raised around the speed in Oakland, but there is not really a speed issue.
That's something which, yes, I think it would be good to release that report to the local paper, I think, to dispel issues that might be getting about that.
The challenge is if we were speeding to write to the Transport Minister seeking a reduction in speed, based on the evidence as we provide a way to support.
Very good. Yeah.
Mm.
Thanks very much, Councillor.
Second.
Thank you, Councillor Bradford. Those in favour?
All right.
Against the ayes have it. Very good. Next one. Heritage Project Program Report. Heritage Project Officer. Oh, Bradford. Hello, Bradford.
The request was... made it last week. He's by the wife. Asking Bradford. Here he is.
Yes, while in his glory, I would say, because we've all been driving over the bridge I think everyone has said, okay, consideration of heritage issues can be prickly and can get in the way of dynamic progress sometimes. which we're very much in favour of the council, but gee, when the results are like that, you can just see how worth it is. Well done, Brad, for sticking to your guns and making it work.
So, well, or helping them out with the timber as well, I think that kind of ticked my box as well.
Yeah. But it wouldn't have happened without your perseverance and astute following up on all the issues involved. So, well done, and of course, great support all of the council officers, but yeah, I think you deserve a pat on the back for that. Is that your report, sir?
Yeah, I guess I'll just cut any questions or anything that's not even in the report. If there's any questions on other projects that are on the go.
Well, I think councillors were interested possibly in Rochefort or, you know, where that's going, because it's a very central town issue.
So I guess with the performing residency in subdivisions program, we've got a bit of funding this financial year to start preparing works on the building for that to happen. Michelle and I have on taking the lead on that. We need some advice from a building surveyor just on the do's and don'ts of how we do it, because it's quite a tricky building to use for the purpose that we're going to use it. Stands on half private, half residential, making sure we're okay with toilets and domestic bathroom and kitchen. Once we've got that advice, we can basically start getting some plans drawn up. We've had a base plan done, the building ready to sort of start sprinkling how we might sort of adapt to the residential end of it. And really, that's how I'm going to show sort of adapting our artisan residence model to suit that and be complementary to that. I guess also Rochefort is forming part of the project that Andrew is leading with the town square and landscaping and how we treat that site. Kind of tied up with the whole area, I think, so in terms of access and parking and people movements. So there's a lot happening in that space, but yeah, we'd be hoping that sometime later in the year we can start promoting and then try and get it filled for next year onwards, because our artisan residence program is still like backing people off. There's a huge waitlist for that, so we're pretty sure it's going to be bit of demand to use the building. Deb's converted one of the rear rooms into a collection store, so if anyone wants to pop in, have a look at that. She's done another job of picking that out and getting all that stuff organised. And then obviously Maria and Helen and Mary are still in the back room.
So, in terms of the space itself that you converted, I guess, to some extent, as a drama space or a rehearsal space or a work space, what are your plans about that? Like physically, what was your plan?
So basically, the big room's got the kitchenette on the northern side, that's on the Campbell Street side. Basically, the upgrade in the kitchen that will be turning the female toilets into a domestic bathroom for the residents. Male toilets will be converted into public toilets, which will be accessible externally. The foyer and the main big room we won't be doing much to at the moment, because there's a lot we could do, but it's going to be a bit more of an extensive exercise. And so that'll be their rehearsal performance space. Performance might not be limited to just that building. I mean, they can be using the courthouse, the backyard, the jail yard, eventually. So it's really just providing that versatile space for, I mean, we don't know who we're going to get and what they're going to be doing and wanting. But that'll be their home base.
Yeah. What's the floor like?
Simple floor, yeah, floor's good.
Yeah.
We were looking at the sort of stage that could be moved around. But look, yeah, I mean, that room is not a gem, but it doesn't work. It'd be made really nice, but yeah, we're just at the moment sticking with the false ceiling and...
Power?
Yeah.
That's all right. So, yeah.
Yeah, power heating, that's all there. Yeah. Again, it's not ideal. It's good for a whole walk.
So it's rolling forward, that's...
Yeah, I mean, physical works to the building for the next thing that needs to happen before we can...
Are you envisaging a budgetary
all the budget for this project, which should have toilet up for a kitchen install. Whether we need to go for a top-up next year, we haven't really had a chat about it, but I'll chat to our GM about that.
What?
Any questions?
I have a question, but it doesn't really relate. It doesn't relate to reform. It relates to the jury country.
Yes.
Do you think they will be done before Anzac Day this year?
Depending on our clerks, as of yesterday, we've got approval approval from the Navy and the Army to use the loafers. That's taken about a year of stepping on it and wrapping the cottage. So we've got the approval for that. We've had to give individual approval for every individual person commemorating. So we're going to get 28 separate letters of approvals so they can now go to the in place because they wouldn't touch it until they had those things of approval. Plinths will be delivered any time and can be distributed any time.
Yeah.
Look, if we can get the parts done before Anzac Day, the answer is yes. I guess we've only got, so we've got 2 months, but I'm just not sure what the wait time on having the parts made. So that has a risk. Alan's step just to get some text as well as to try and make it a bit more concise, just so it's a little bit more affordable.
Thanks, Barry. Any other notes? No? All right. There's a motion that the Heritage Projects Program report be received and information noted. So move for that.
I'll move.
Second.
Thanks, Councillor Christie. Those in favour?
All right.
And against, the ayes have it.
Presentation for the council workshop and that is an attachment to this report and that had gone through council's policy considerations in relation to Offaly Dog Park in Oaklands and it ran through a range of locations that Maria and her team had Lake Dalton and Kellington Park Committee and myself have been working through with members of the local Oaklands Community Dog Group. There were two options that I'd flagged following the council workshop. There was a Lake Dalton and Kellington Park Committee later that day. They considered the documentation and came up with another option, which was Ross Street. You can see Ross Street is identified in the plan and the agenda item that you have there, which runs between High Street and the highway. It's a council-maintained road, but there's not much of a road there apart from an access to the Greens property down the side. So with that in hand, I then met with members of the Oaklands Community Dog Group on Tuesday last week and walked through all of those slides and council's consideration and asked the group if what their thoughts were in relation to the three items that, or three locations. One was Chatham Street in between the cemeteries, and the other was the Parramatta Recreation Ground, and then the additional item that had been flagged from Maria's group, which was Ross Street. There was a lot of discussion around the whole presentation and the options, and certainly the group did favour Ross Street. In actual fact, that was flagged, I think, at a very early stage, but there were negotiations then between Maria, Maria Weeding's property and coming to Mill Distillery with helicopters coming into Oaklands. So that made that not an option in those early days. The helicopter arrangement hasn't happened, and Maria Weeding, her husband John, not objecting to the possible dog parking rostra where they're the property owner. On one side, it left for me to contact Tasmanian Livestock Exchange, who run the sale yards, which is where the southern side owner. I've met with a member of TLX this morning, and they did flag that there were some matters that needed some further consideration, such as they do use the whole length of that road, or that sort of reserve road, or that space to store their bales of hay at the lower end adjacent to the highway. There's a structure down there, they store hay there. It's the driest place, the driest part of that total portion of land that does get flooded in the winter. So there was an access issue. Said that maybe we could talk through that, could we move the gates, and so we can start to refine that. The next issue there was dogs potentially spooking sheep in the sale yard or in the paddocks there. I understand that there's a sale every month, that the sale yards are used every month, but not those paddocks every month. But it was acknowledged that at the last sale there were 11,000 sheep in those paddocks that would be adjacent to the proposed dog park that we're talking about. I did say, can we close maybe the dog park when there's a sale on? And the comment was, well, whilst the sale would be on a Thursday, that the sheep would be in there before the sale, and sometimes they have to hang around in the paddocks after the sale. And the other thing that frustrates that, if there's bad weather across Bass Strait, any sheep that are heading to the mainland are impinged on progress and have to stay in the yard. So it wasn't as easy as just closing the dog park on a sale day. But they offered to go away and think about it and come back to us. But it seems that Yeah. It's an awkward situation that I'll have to meet with him again, and maybe take some members of the community dog group with me, and we can see whether we can work through those specific issues. The other thing is to search for another location yet again, maybe another reserved road that we can maybe find in Oatlands. And there was one flagged at the southern end of High Street, the junction of the highway, and one in that space. So I'll explore that while we're still working through with TLX with our issue in Ross Street. So hopefully I was going to offer this as a very solid solution, Ross Street, to council, and make some recommendations, but unfortunately it's still work in progress, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, it's bigger than Ben Hur to try and find a small space for people to look after their dogs. So I did prepare some information in relation to Ross Street and comparable sizes and configuration to the Kempton Dog Park, but I'll probably hold that in abeyance now until we've met with TLX again and looked through the issues.
All right.
Just on that, Andrew, they originally, yes, they were having a sale every month. They were to have one last week and they cancelled it. They're not having sales every month. They've only, it's been very sad not to have items for a while now. They're trying to do as much other
crime
as they can.
That's true too. Yep. I wasn't aware of the number of sales that they had, but just the quantity of the sheep. They said they've had up to 18,000 sheep in those paddocks. So it's pretty big infrastructure. Mm. And how do we create between a traditional business that's operated in
traditionally January, February, March, the open sale has had over 50,000. Good years, sure. It was over 50,000.
That's amazing.
So the numbers have cut back, but traditionally, January, February, March are the biggest sales that they have at opens.
Right. Watch this space.
Yes.
Thanks for that input.
Yes. Very good.
The proverbial dog of a man. I just hope that we can find a resolution. Was there a fair bit of pressure towards getting a resolution, or did they see the outcomes?
I said, we're exploring the option. This space appears to fit with the community group, community dog group, because it's close to the village. We mow it probably twice or three times a year. It'd be nice if it could be used as a partial road, an ephemeral road maybe, and a recreation space for dog walking. So they were quite, let's have a think about it and see what we can do, and hopefully, I said, we'd like the place to be there, but if it became an impossibility for them to run their business in that sort of space in conjunction with the dog park, we'd have to rethink. But I said we'd be happy to come back and work through any particular issues that they might have.
Some sort of landscaping or something? Thanks for your report. We've had a discussion. We're just going to adjourn the matter to a date to be fixed, I suppose. That's
really good. Maybe put some timelines around it, provide a report to the next council meeting so that we get it still moving quickly.
Thank you.
Relatively quickly.
So I'm going to accept that resolution. Yes, Deputy, thank you. Senator? Councillor Backlund.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
The opening is the Aquatic Centre. Next holidays report over there before us. Do I remove that information from this room? Thanks.
Second.
Thanks, Mr. Bissey.
Pleased to see incomes up and expenses are down.
Always a nice result. Any further discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
The barbecue, the birthday party, do people have to book it through Adam? Do they book it through that's something needs to be put out there. Because I actually have people asking me.
So we might be able to slot something in the news.
Which I've got to.
Generally.
Dad. Promise. Okay. Yeah, I'll drop that to over today. We'll do it. Okay, you put something in the newsletter. I'll write something about them. There's news. Very good. We've got a mover and a seconder. Is that information we received? Presentation? Thank you. Connect Victoria Hall, Future Ownership. General Manager is provided a recommendation to speak to that project.
Mayor, we did have a discussion about this issue at the workshop. Dot point there as part of the report, the issues that were taken into account. And for those reasons, the recommendation is that we decline their request to take on ownership of the property.
Reluctantly, I move the recommendation.
And seconder?
Yep.
Thanks, Councillor Blackrock. Yes, I understand you.
Yeah, look, it's a great shame, and we're going to have a request in the years to come for other halls, and I think we'll have to treat them all the same unless we can come up with very good reasons for transferring them to the responsibility of ratepayers.
Yeah, look, I think the issues surrounding those halls might be...
Apart from the ownership issue, which in this case is very convoluted.
Yeah. Very good. Well, motion. I think it's an obvious motion, really, from our point of view. I can see it on the state line, and it might be a matter for the state to the state team generally to have a look at generally for the ownership issues that are associated with this. Balls which are seeding now into non-usage and some of them burnt down in that circumstances which could cause general issues about public safety and life and have that happen in our district. Okay, well those in favour of that resolution say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against the ayes have it, thank you. We go now to the development of body worn camera matter. Jerry Thomas.
Oh, well, yes. Wendy presented this at the December meeting. She's where I'd like to put it back in to be adopted.
Second. No recommendations for change, so is there a yes, Councillor Blackwell? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? No, I have it. Thank you. And the adoption of the private works policy matter there, GM, did you wish to speak to that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just history, you might recall that this is, came about as a result of a performance audit being undertaken by the Tasmanian Audit Office, It was stated sort of the last policy of the December meeting, of which there was one amendment identified, and that was the two hot water, well, that's the highlight one, from page 83. We increased the value to 50,000 before coming to council for the it was a good point, Andy detected that we had a minimum rate for plant hire of 1 hour. Of course, whenever you've got a piece of plant, you've got an operator. There is a business of 1 hour labour.
There's the recommendation.
Thank you very much, Councillor Beasley. Seconded. Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Policy dispense 2 weeks, 33 meetings in the consideration, so now it becomes public. Very good. Finance officer, Andy Murphy. The recommendation is that we formally adopt the rates and charges of policy.
Gone too far. No, I haven't seen through yet.
Well, for once, I'll Okay, 1703, this is the rate and charges policy. And the council has asked to formally adopt that. As you can see, well, ready. Yellow marking, so I've got some issues related to it. Providing plenty of opportunity for both parties to object. Clear dates. This way, this is appropriate.
We're on strike four.
Move the recommendation.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Good. Remuneration there is that we formally adopt the rate and charges policy. I will move it and I'll have a second and the policies with us. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And that takes us up now to the Council's inquiry. We can have a discussion about that. That was alerted to us by the GM earlier in the meeting. The recommendation was before us is that.
I'll move, Mr. Mayor. It's good to see that it actually has a future, perhaps under this new arrangement. I think we must recognise that in the past the STCA played a large part in lobbying to get the new Bridgewater Bridge, and that was led by the late Mayor of Brighton, Councillor Tony Foster. But the STCA played a large role in lobbying to get that structure, and as you've all seen, it's almost getting towards completion, and one of the largest infrastructure projects in Tasmania. So it does have a role. It's more a lobbying role than anything else, but unfortunately the city's sort of, I think, have always been inclined to want to have their own organisation, and the six councils, rural councils, form their own organisation. But I think it's far better if it's one, because it carries much more weight as the southern councils rather than two disparate groups. I think this is a positive move, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I think
mulch then.
Thanks, Mr. Casper Cowie. Yes, it probably does provide some utility for the otherwise underutilised regional development secretary or regional development authority. That may be certainly the part that operates for the southern councils. So there's a motion there that we confirm support for the formation and funding of a Southern Tasmania Council network, but it does cost us. But the secretariat will be based at within the regional development authority. I think that's worthwhile. Any other discussion? Very good. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
All right.
Those against? Elected members' statements, I think. We've got the Council of Doctors. Do you have any statements, Deputy?
Yes, if I'm wrong. I've just got two. I wanted to make the comment that the meeting with Minister Kerry Vincent, I found it to be a very good meeting. As I said, I felt that the Minister actually listened to our concerns. And I think we've had progress already on a couple of issues that were raised, which is fantastic. And then last Thursday, the Mayor was unavailable, so I officially welcomed Professor Tammy and Professor Abe from the University of Tokyo on behalf of the Southern Midlands Council. They are in Tasmania studying the increasing number of people moving from urban areas to rural regions. And apart from studying Otis, they were going to visit Evandale and Richmond as well. The Deputy General Manager had organised an intense itinerary, and I've got a copy to give it to everyone. It was very intense for 2 days. The itinerary included meeting with several business people who had moved to Auckland from larger areas. And yes, as I said, I've got a copy of the itinerary and the little outline that the Deputy General Manager has done. It was very interesting. We spoke for about an hour, and they were very interesting people to talk to. Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you for very much. Any other elected members' statements?
I'd probably like to make a statement on the Baghdad Mangalore structure workshops that we had last Wednesday and Thursday. I'd like to congratulate Damien Mackey and Grant Finn on organising them. They were very well received by the local community and quite well attended as well by businesses and then the workshop in the evenings by the locals, and I think it's all going to be a positive output from there, and I'm looking forward to seeing the final report. Well done.
Yes, it obviously, I thought it was a great process. It was, and the community, Tony Bandit in particular, outside of council input, were very helpful.
It was well received.
Yeah.
I fully endorse the remarks of the councillor, Beckwood.
I thank those councillors who attended and participated, which was great. Just for me, the Kempton Festival, and congratulate the organisers of the Kempton Festival. Did a wonderful job again to put on something really interesting and vibrant within our community, and raise money for community projects. Well done to the Kempton Festival organisers.
Very good.
Monthly financial statement provided by the Finance Officer, Mandy Burton.
Move that be received, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Second amendment, Mr. Blackwell. Did you want to speak to that?
No.
pretty straightforward. You got your microscope over, Councillor Bisbee?
No, it's fine. I haven't found anything on this. Sandy does a great job.
This point, he's done the budget, he's used it up.
How many marks in a row?
92.95%.
Okay.
Well, the cat coming out of the
dish. I'll fix that.
Okay. Well, there's no trouble. Radio silence from Councillor. Very good. You've got away with it. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Well, we're going up to Mr. Chase, I thought. This is the Mayor of May James and Sons for Christchurch, proposed subdivision Station Street, Kempton, and a request for remission of development application fee. It's a matter of $900 waiting there. There's three options that have been set forward.
And I'll move option one.
Just to remove the 900.
Well, all right. Do you have a second, Councillor Campbell?
That's a good question.
I second.
Seconded for the deputy?
Yeah.
Well, I'll put. Well, is there any discussion?
There is one little question I'd like to end up. The blue place, did that get sold? And for how much?
It got sold? How much? So I can't quite recall, but it was
90,000.
There you go, memory.
90,000.
90,000. There you go.
Well, if there's no discussion, I've got a mover and a seconder. I'll simply put the motion. That is for 900 being remitted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thanks, Sam. The municipal seal and the deputy general manager provided the support in relation to that and endorsed the signing of the seal. Thanks very much.
Second. Sorry, Councillor Blackwell.
Councillor Blackwell seconded and the deputy moved that. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And in relation to the
we might just amend the record touch. Good old copy and paste.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
Just delete the reference from any time in the record.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Been a long day.
Predictive typing.
So it's cool.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Very good.
Sorry,
who did that? So, Councillor, understand what. Sorry, I
seconded it.
We understand.
I second it.
Yeah, it's called the park, not the park.
Yeah, okay, we understand that. Yep. And move by the deputy seconded, Councillor. Those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Now, recommendation in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, the following items to be dealt with in closed session. Closed for 4 minutes, confirmation, applications for legal actions, order 20 minutes, and a start matter. A mover? Thank you. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. and that in accordance with Regulation 15.2 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations, Council will move into closed session and the meeting be closed to members of the public. Got that?
I move.
Thank you, Councillor Kenn. Thanks to you, Councillor Olivia. Very good. We have those persons leaving the chamber. Very good. And now we're into closed session. The minutes to be announced for meeting number 22 January 2005 be confirmed. Thank you. And I'll set the place for meeting at 12:02. So thank you, councillors, for your attendance and contribution. And we close this council meeting at 12:33.
Thank you, Carol.